The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
I'm Jessica from New York, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 224 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today podcast and touringplans.com. And with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle. It's getting close to Turkey Day.
Yeah. Well, turkeys around me don't get nervous because I'm vegetarian. So, but I all the other things, the squash should be nervous and the potatoes. The
squash and, hey, Mr. Squash, you nervous? Oh, I'm nervous.
Oh goodness. I love Thanksgiving. So it's a fun time, food and family and some people like football games, but good for them. I'm going to give a shout out today to somebody whose name is Rhonda Fox, and she completed a 9-mile training run. I don't know where she lives because she didn't say, but she was very excited to do it in the snow. So I'm guessing she does not live where our guests on the show live today, but unlike me, she likes running in the snow. So congratulations, Rhonda.
Congratulations, Rhonda. And it's on with the show. So one of the things we always try to do is we try to gauge what is needed out there from our listeners, from the questions we get, from the emails we get, from things posted on the Facebook page. And we really thank everyone for being as communicative as possible and letting us know what you want to hear, because it helps us plan our shows. And this show is one of those shows that we put together to respond to questions on multi-day races and how you prepare, how you handle them, how you train, and actually how you go through them. So we've asked two special guests to come on who are experienced in this and to help us help everybody out there who are looking at multi-day races for the very first time. So we'd like to welcome all the way from California, Laura Gilbreth and Lee Zimmerman. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Good to be here talking about multi-day races. Oh, boy.
Multi-day races. So let's start off talking about the aspect of training for multi-day races, for multi-day race weekend. And when we say multi-day, we mean anything from two consecutive days to four consecutive days of running. And so with that in mind, Lee and Laura, if someone came up to you and asked how you would begin training for a multi-day race weekend, what would be some of the important points that you would make to these people who are doing it for the first time?
Well, so I think for us, our philosophy is that you train for the longest race in the series and you don't worry a whole lot about the shorter ones. So you need to do some back-to-back runs, assuming you're running, or run walks if you're run walking, or fast walking if you're walking. You need to kind of know how your body deals with getting that much exercise 2 days in a row. But assuming that you don't have horrible problems with recovering from back-to-back activity, then for the most part, we just normally follow a training plan for whatever the longest race, half marathon or full marathon typically there is in a multi-day series, and train for that, and have not so far, knock on wood, had any problems with doing multi-days, and we've done 4 goofies, including last year that was the inaugural Dopey, where we did 4 races in a row, and I think we've done all of the opportunities so far that Disney's had to do 10K half marathon back-to-back.
You know, Lee, you bring up a good point, because there are a lot of people out there who I would think every once in a while, or maybe quite often, they do run back-to-back during the week. So there may be people out there who actually do run every day. They may do a certain amount of miles every day. But when we're talking a multi-day race, we're talking about usually day 2 being the longer run than day 1. So you're right. It makes a lot of sense to try to get in shape for that longer race. But at the same time, like you said, while we're training our bodies to be able to handle that, we're also training our bodies to recover. And I was wondering if you or Laura could speak to what kind of practices you have learned that help you recover.
Well, I think for me personally, I very rarely do back-to-back runs, even when I'm training for a Goofy or Dopey. What I typically will do is I'll do my long run on Saturday, like I usually would. And then on Sunday, I'll go out and I'll do a power walk, which I might do 5 miles. But that's certainly still a far cry from doing like a 10-mile run one day and a 20-mile run the next, which I think there are some training programs that will recommend you do something like that. But for me, doing the power walk is kind of a recovery mechanism. It gets me out there doing something else, but because I'm walking rather than running, that gives my running muscles some recovery time. And we also walk run anyway for the long distances. And that gives us some kind of built-in recovery even during the race, because we aren't running the entire time. We also tend to goof off during all of these races. So we aren't running them hard. And that is, I think, one of the things that you have to remember is you can't go out in a race series and try and get a personal record. If you do, you're just going to kill yourself on the final day, because you're going to have put everything out there maybe in the half marathon and just not have much left for the really long race. So you need to remember that it's a series and you have to take it easy. It's a Disney race, so you know, enjoy the characters and take some time to stop and a few times and get your picture taken or something during the race, just so you don't go too fast and burn yourself out for the next day.
Okay, so I'm gonna slightly disagree with my lovely and talented wife. If you're doing a 10K half, and if you've done halves before, so you know that you've got the half distance in you. I know I last year did a 10K for time, set a PR, and then ran the half. Again, we sort of goofed off during the half, but you kind of need to know your ability and what you're doing. I think the 10K half, you can choose to run maybe the 10K fast if you know you're going to lay off on the half. Dopey, it's all about just surviving. You know, you've got that 26 miles at the end, and so all 3 races building up to it need to be leaving a lot in the tank and taking it easy. I absolutely agree on the run walk. The half of the year when we're preparing for Goofy or Gofy, because that's typically the only marathon we do, because we really like half marathon distance. We always do run walk that part of the season, and it's important. If you're going to do run walk, you want to train that way. But I think that both is important for doing back to backs, because you get the kind of famous, I'm using the walking muscles, I'm using the running muscles, but it's also just great because you can dial the run walk interval so differently for different races or depending on how you feel. And I think that's a really nice kind of control factor that you have that you don't have if you're just going to go out and run. I mean, yeah, you can run faster or slower, but trying to get yourself into some sort of a regular, like we normally do 4-to-1 run to walk intervals. But if it's a long run and I'm starting to get tired, I'll dial it back to 3-to-1. I know, Michelle, we did like 30-30s or something like that in the marathon last year, which was my happiest marathon ever, just because that was so refreshing.
Because I was there, right?
Because you were there. And it was, it just, there's so much variety in what you can do if you do run, walk, and mix it up based on your ability and how many races you're running. I think that's an important part of both the training and the execution part of it.
So, it sounds like you designed your own plan, and you know there are other plans. Run Disney has the Galloway plan. There's also the Hal Higdon plan, which has a lot of running, you know, several days in a row for different levels of runners. But it sounds like you would agree that it's important to have a plan and stick with it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Definitely. Yeah, you need to have a training plan. You need to know that you're going to be building up to longer runs, and you're going to have some recovery weeks though. So you may do a 15 mile one weekend, and then the next weekend you're going to drop back and you're going to do maybe 9, and then the next weekend you might go back up to 12, or you might go up to 16. So even within the training season, you have some recovery built in. But it's very, very important to have that discipline that a training plan will give you, and a little bit of, I don't know, responsibility maybe, accountability that you're actually doing it. So in that situation, it actually helps if you're working in a running group or some kind of peer pressure going on there, that if you start to say, oh, I'm too tired, I don't want to do it, you have some people that are maybe missing you and saying, hey, you know, when are you going to get back out here? Because it's okay, life happens, and you're not going to get all your training runs in throughout the season, because it just doesn't happen that way. You know, you're going to be sick, you're going to miss a week because you're on vacation or something's come up at work, and that's okay. You know, if that happens a few times during the training season, yeah, so be it. But you can't do that every single week. And so you really need to have a plan and try and follow it as best you can.
Stick with it, and whatever plan works for you. So let's talk about, I know you guys have a good running base. If you were doing a 10K and a half, how far out would you start really preparing for that race versus something like a goofy or a dopey?
Well, we're running a lot these days, so a lot of races throughout the year. So we kind of are always kind of at a base where we could run a 10K on any given weekend with no problem. When we start training, when we have a half marathon coming up, instead of doing maybe 5 or 6 mile runs on the weekend, you know, we start building up to 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, I know there are training programs for half marathons that actually recommend you run 14 miles about 3 weeks before your half, that you actually run longer than the actual distance. And we never do that. We'll run maybe 11 or 12, usually 3 weeks out, and then we start dropping back a little bit. But that's our philosophy. That works for us, and so we're able to do that. But for serious training, like I said, we have a normal base that we can deal with, so we might start really seriously training for a half, 2 months out?
Maybe. And it's we're training for a marathon weekend right now, so I have done 15 miles before running a half. So all we did was we're working on a marathon training schedule, and the last couple of weeks we dropped the mileage down from our running group from running the marathon distance, which was like 15, 16 miles, to the half distance, which was 10 miles, 9 miles, which, you know, so it was a quasi taper. And, you know, in general, if I could run 8, but if I can run 10, I'm not worried about running a half. And that's one of those areas, I think, where we differ a little bit from some of the other training programs. And part of it's just experience. I never run 26 miles before running a marathon. I mean, you know, I'm lucky if I get 20 or 22 in, and even if we follow the training program that our training group uses, that's all they ever take us to. Because if you can make it that far, you know, you're going to crawl the last 4 miles to get across the finish line. I mean, there's no way somebody's going to deny you if you can get that far into it. So I have a philosophical disagreement with the training programs that have you train for more than the miles, especially for the marathon distance.
When we talk about, when we answer questions on those who are doing something like a multi-day race for the first time, we try to reinforce what everyone always says, and that is, whatever you do in your training, make sure that you do the same thing on race day and never do anything new. So having said that, I wanted to ask everyone, including you, Michelle, how do you all feel about, if you're training for a multi-day race, do you do things with gear? And that is, would you suggest that people think about using two pairs of running shoes, one each day? And would you also say maybe consider compression sleeves for the calves? What do you think?
Well, I definitely, when we're doing multi-day races, even if it's a 10K, a half marathon back-to-back, I run in different shoes on those 2 days. And I have generally two pairs of shoes that I'm using throughout the training season that I'm rotating between. So I have no surprises on race day. I'm not running in anything new that I haven't done before.
And I don't normally run in calf sleeves, but I do wear them if we're doing multi-day races a lot of the time. I don't know for sure, knock on wood, I've never really had calf problems, but if it helps, if it gives me back a little bit of energy or something like that, then I'm willing to go through the discomfort of trying to fit calf sleeves around my hairy fat calves, you know, in order to maybe get some benefit out of it.
Now I wear compression socks after a race. Now, I'll wear a calf sleeve sometimes during the race, though they're generally more of a fashion statement rather than, I think, anything that really helps me. I usually go with whatever I'm happen to be wearing costume-wise. But after the race, I have you know, the full-length compression-type socks that I put on, and especially after, like, the, you know, the 10K and half marathon, and then the day after day of the marathon as well. After I'm done with the marathon, I'll put them on to, and I think it does help, that in a cold bath to refresh the legs. There's been some talk, I think, lately about, you know, whether a cold bath is worth it or not. In my experience, I've found that if I take a cold bath after long, long runs, that it really does seem to help my legs recover better.
And for me, I always bring two pairs of running sneakers, and I will use my newer ones that aren't as broken in for the shorter distance, like a 10K or a half marathon if I'm doing multi-day races, and my more broken in shoes for the longer distances. Yeah. All right, so let's transition while we have a little bit of time left to what do you actually do when you get to the park? So let's talk about, we'll keep it at one race here. So let's talk about Dopey. If you're going to do Dopey again, what would you do for those 4 days in terms of how you would manage your time? Because, you know, when we're training, what you're saying is that you train based on the long distance and you may not run the 4 days in a row. How would you manage the 5K, the 10K, the half in terms of your running and then park time, which, you know, is always pulling on us when we're at a Disney parks. It's not just the running, it's the touring too. What would you do? Let's start with day one after the 5K.
Well, I think the main thing to keep in mind, at least that I keep in mind on a multi-day, especially Dopey, is I have to get up very early in the morning 4 days in a row, and that's really hard. So trying to get in early enough and try and fall asleep early enough that I will hopefully manage to get maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep is very important. That was really the worst thing about Dopey when we did it this year was getting up four mornings in a row. That was really, really hard.
You know, that's the theme with everybody that we've talked to, including me too, is that's the trickiest part of the race is the getting up. And full disclosure, you guys are coming from the West Coast. So when you're getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're really getting up at midnight, right?
Yes.
So you guys have it worse than we do.
We try and go to bed at 9 o'clock or something. Well, that's 6 p.m. in California. So yeah, it's tough. It's hard to sleep.
So you mentioned theme park time, and that's the other, I think, important part of it. I mean, I certainly on that 4-day weekend, and you know, it's not like I'm going to avoid the theme parks. We're going to go out and spend time there, but you don't want to spend 10-hour days out on your feet. You need to give your legs a rest. So, I mean, obviously 5K day, you know, you're over early. You've got a full day you can spend in the theme park. And probably I would tend to front load my theme park time. If I was going to spend time with family and stuff like that, I would figure that I could spend a little more time after the 5K and 10K days, knowing that by the time I get through the half marathon day, I'm really going to want to stay off my legs as much as I can the rest of that day, because they're going to be really tired, and I'm going to need to rest them to get ready for the marathon. So, you know, I would set expectations with the family that they're probably going to have more of your company, you know, those first couple of the 4 days, probably not spend much time in the theme park after the half marathon. And then if you can still move, spend as much time as you want on marathon day, but you know, you may not feel like it at that point. And then I echo what Laura says. I mean, you have to figure out how, because of the getting up early, to not be out late in the theme parks.
And in terms of running the 5K, the 10K, the half, and the full, you're doing, because you haven't run the 4 days in a row, you know, based on your training plan. I know what I do is, you know, I'll walk the 5K. I might walk run the 10K, walk run the half, and then go very, very slowly for the full. What is your strategy for those four running days?
I think last year we did the run walk and we didn't push it hard, but we just sort of treated it like 4 days of running. I mean, I do actually train sometimes 4 days in a row. A lot of times I run 3 days in a row. So I know what my body does, and I'm lucky it doesn't have a hard time with running day after day after day if I'm not injured. And so, you know, run the way you've trained. Just don't push it very hard, is generally our strategy for those race days.
Yeah, I tell Lee, because he likes to sprint once we get close to the sprint to the finish line, and I tell him every year when we're running together and we're getting, you know, to that like mile 13 point, I said there's no sprinting in dopey, or there's no sprinting in goofy, because you just got to leave something left. And that sprint at the end, it seems like it's only a tenth of a mile, but it really does take quite a bit out of me, at least. So if I sprint like that, I'm going to feel it during the marathon the next day. But Michelle, I agree with you that I take it easy for those 3 days leading up to the marathon. Now, the 5K, a 3.1 mile, that's not even a normal training run for me. So that's a very short distance. So that one I'll run. And it being a Disney 5K, I'm going to stop because there's going to be characters and photo opportunities. So that one I'll run at an easy pace, really. But I'll run it probably about the same speed that I would do just a normal training run. But it will take me longer because I'm going to stop for character opportunities. But the 10K half and full, yeah, those are all going to be run walk.
And I think you said it earlier, Lee, and I've said this many times on the show too, the idea is that we're just getting through this and getting through it safely too. In terms of eating, would you do anything different for these 4 days? Anything
you'd avoid? Absolutely not. I mean, that's one of the cardinal sins of marathon or distance racing is don't do anything different. And now it is hard when you're away from home and you're not you're not where you can get to the foods and restaurants that you're used to, so you have to be a little bit cautious. But
you're on vacation too, yes. So you may want to try something different.
Yeah, but you have to realize, hey, you know, you've been training all these months for this thing, and don't throw it all away just because you decided you wanted to try some really off the wall menu item that didn't agree with you.
Yeah. I normally don't worry too much about breakfast and lunch. I figure that's far enough away from racing the next day that if I had something I really don't like, I'll deal with it. I'm more careful with dinner, and we have our little either superstitions or preparations. You know, we have pretzels and gummy bears that we can snack on late in the afternoon on pre-race days, and we tend to like Ultima is our electrolyte supplement, so we'll, you know, try to drink up on Ultima, and we'll find typically we have bagels and yogurt in the morning, so we'll, you know, find someplace out around the park where we can make sure that we have bought our bagel for the next morning and our yogurt. But yeah, you know, don't do anything completely crazy over that 4 days or 2 days, however many you're doing.
Yeah, it's just like we say, don't do anything differently on race day that you have not done. And the other thing, I think that all of us would agree, most important thing about when you're doing a multi-day race weekend is hydration and replacing those electrolytes.
Yeah. Hydrate.
So I have one more important question for you. You've done a multi-day race. Which medal do you wear in the park?
Okay.
All of them.
I hate clinking medals, and I hate tipping my medals up, so I go for the challenge medal because it's the one that the people in the know will recognize, and it, you know, it means that you ran the longest race, but you ran all the others too.
Laura disagrees.
No, actually, the reality is that I typically will just wear the challenge medal. Now, if it's a 3 day or 2 day challenge with the third medal. Yeah, I've been known to wear that, though most commonly what I'll do is if I'm getting my coast to coast medal, I'll wear whatever medal I got and then the coast to coast medal with that. So I'll wear two, but I generally don't wear any more than two.
Yeah, I think I just wore the Dopey this year. That was enough. I don't know that I had the energy to lift anything else.
Yeah. Well, there's that too. Yeah.
And here's another tip from me to you. If you're going on Big Thunder Mountain, put the medal away before you go on that ride or Splash Mountain. Mike, what about you?
You know, it's been so many years doing this. You want to, on the one hand, you want to show off, but like Lee said, the clinking and the clanging after a while, and then you have to hold them and stuff like that. I think that showing the challenge medal, you know, is
Disney
the important
runner
thing.
Problems.
Oh,
I guess.
Yeah. And how many times, if you wear just one medal, people who aren't in the know will ask you, well, what does that represent? Especially the coast to coast challenge. And some people may think you ran from coast to coast. So, I agree with everybody. I think one medal is enough. First time around, you may want to wear them all, but
definitely wear something.
Yes. So I think that's about it, guys. And we've hopefully given the first time multi-day race runners some insight as to how they should approach not just training, but on the execution of the multi-day race weekend, how to go about it. So Lee and Laura, thank you very much for your insight.
Our pleasure.
And Michelle, I guess that's it. So for Lee Zimmerman, for Laura Gelbreth, for Michelle Scrivener-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road day after day after day.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.